Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross. I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. This week's topic is sustainable gardening, and with us to shed some light is South Beach-based Master Gardener and co-vice president of the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, Julie Roth Carter. Thanks for joining me.
It's great to be here today.
So tell me, what is sustainable gardening?
Gosh, Ross, this is something I've thought a lot about and tried to come up with a succinct definition of what sustainable gardening is. But this is kind of how my interpretation goes. I think that overall, sustainable gardening refers to the ability to grow plants in harmony with nature with minimal negative impact on the environment. And a sustainable garden is one that thrives with minimal inputs. So that means irrigation, that means pesticides, that means fertilizers, even means labor, our own personal labor, also means fuel use, for example, for gardening equipment. So a sustainable garden then requires minimal inputs of those things. One author suggests an overall concept in landscape sustainability is to think like nature, and I really love that. Personally, I'm trying to do this more and more in my home landscape because I think it helps us to use this as an underpinning as we move from landscapes that have had very little ecological value to ones that regain their positive ecological impact. And really, the great thing about this model is that the garden is going to start taking care of itself for you.
That is a great overview for such a complicated approach to gardening. What aspects of sustainable gardening are particularly relevant to gardeners in Lincoln County?
That's a great question, too, Ross. I've thought about this as well. And of course, I think that all aspects are important and they're all intertwined. And so it's difficult to kind of tease out a specific aspect. But I'm going to try to do it anyway.
Thank you.
So I was thinking mostly about water and irrigation needs. And I think a lot about our weather patterns here, particularly our rains. And typically here, what I've noticed in the South Beach area is that our rains kind of stop sometime in early July, if we're lucky, and we have a dry period that extends until perhaps mid-September. So we actually have a bit of a drought. So that during that time, the drought time, people are needing to irrigate their gardens. And we've talked about already trying to use minimal amount of water. So a perfect solution for that is to grow native plants that have adapted to our climate here in the Pacific Northwest. And we actually have a number of plants that do quite well with little to actually no water during the summertime once they have been established in your garden. So that's kind of one of the things that I think is unique here in Lincoln County.
That makes a lot of sense. You mentioned earlier that you've been trying to incorporate sustainable gardening into your own garden. What particular practices have you been trying to bring with you?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you might have guessed from my previous answer, something that I'm pretty interested in are the native plants here in the Pacific Northwest. And again, as I said before, these plants have co-evolved here with our soils, with our climate. And so they do quite well here, of course. These plants have co-evolved with other plants and wildlife, including pollinators, and they are adapted to our climate and our soils. So I've been adding native plants back into my small woodland garden. And what I think is a really funny thing is if I were just to leave my little garden alone, it populates itself with many of these native plants, which is really quite lovely. One thing I do like to do, though, is when I'm out hiking in the woods, is notice how plants occur naturally. And then I take photos of them, and I try to recreate that in my personal garden because nature is quite an excellent landscaper. Nature doesn't combine plants that have diverse moisture, soil, and hardiness requirements adjacent to one another, but rather groups plants with like requirements together. What a concept! So again, this is a more sustainable way to garden.
So what I'm hearing is that an easy way to implement some sustainable gardening principles is to group plants with like growing conditions together while trying to replicate the ecosystems formed in the wild, but in our backyards. Does that sound right?
That's perfect, Ross. Master gardeners have this saying, it's right plant, right place, which is exactly what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. You make it sound so simple. Would you let me know what any particular hurdles you've experienced while trying to switch to more sustainable gardening practices are, and how did you overcome them?
Well, I don't know if I've overcome this particular hurdle, but it's one I think about a lot, Russ. One, my personal hurdle is to change my own mindset. I have to be honest with you. It's not the plants. It's not the design. It's not the water usage, those kinds of things, but really my own personal desire for how I want my garden to look. I've been a gardener for a long time. I've bought hundreds and hundreds of plants, just like lots of gardeners do. I always go for big and showy, lots of flowers, maybe don't fit in the current garden that I'm in. And so I've had to change that and change my thinking to what is more ecologically beneficial. And to me, that's embracing sustainable gardening. So my garden is going to look a little bit different. But the great news about that is that many people are thinking about this now. And many of my neighbors are thinking about this. And so we all are having more sustainable gardens. And they may look different from what my former gardens looked like, which I got a lot of personal satisfaction from. But I think I'm doing a better thing for the environment.
And they still look beautiful. We're surrounded by such lovely nature. Why not have a little bit of that at home?
I agree too. And I'm getting really used to different shades of green, I think.
So besides just switching up mindsets, what are some other ways that beginner gardeners can implement sustainable gardening principles?
You know, I think one of the most important things that a beginners can do is to really go assess your site. Have a look at what you actually have and what are the conditions in terms of the soil, moisture, and light. Again, thinking about that right plant, right place that we talked about a minute ago. Think about what nature is telling you in terms of what type of garden might be best suited for your property. For example, you're not going to grow a prairie garden if you live in a woodland setting. As much as you might want to do that, the chances are it's not going to thrive for you. So again, going back to right plant, right place. And you know, some gardeners in Lincoln County live close to the ocean, and we have gardeners here in our county who live further east who have totally different growing conditions. So again, it's really important to assess your site and begin from that point as you move forward in your goal of creating a sustainable garden.
It really is both more sustainable and easier to not fight an uphill battle in your yard.
I think that's so true, Ross. I can't tell you how many times I've put plants in places that I knew in my head weren't going to thrive, but I decided to try it anyway. So I'm trying to be more mindful of that.
So Julie, we've talked a lot about what people with yards and in-ground gardens can do, but what could people like me do who only have access to patios and decks? What sustainable gardening can you do in, say, a pot or a container?
Well, that's a great question, Ross. And fortunately, many of our native plants will do just fine in a pot. So again, make sure you assess your site. Where is your pot sitting? Is it in shade? Is it in the sun? And select appropriate native plants for that site. And you'll be surprised by the number of pollinators you'll attract to your pots on your deck, and you'll be the envy of the entire neighborhood.
So before I let you go, do you have any other information that you'd like to share with listeners about sustainable gardening?
Yeah, Ross, I came across an article called The Landscape Sustainability Checklist. It provides a comprehensive checklist that an established garden might use or a beginning gardener might use. And the great thing about it is, you know, you'll see that it has a number of factors to be considered, but you really only have to do just a few at a time. And every year, if you do 2-3 of these things in your garden, pretty soon you're going to have a sustainable garden that's the envy of your entire neighborhood. So some of the categories that are included in this article are things like, again, selecting the right plant for the right place. I think we've talked about that a lot today. That's one of our major points, I think. Watering efficiently, and it has a number of steps that you can evaluate in your own gardening Own Gardening for Increasing the Efficiency of Your Watering. Talks about protecting your watershed, how you can recycle organic material, ways to promote soil health, how you can encourage wildlife, manage pests responsibly, and reduce your carbon footprint. So this could actually serve as a checklist for you, if you will, that could be used to guide you throughout the years as you increase the sustainability of your own personal gardens.
That sounds really useful. Where might people find it?
This is in the Oregon State University Extension Catalog.
And the catalog is online?
Correct.
Okay. So to close off, where might some curious listeners find out more about sustainable gardening?
You know, one of the great resources that we have available to us is the Oregon State University Extension Catalog. So you could search that, and this catalog contains all sorts of publications from Oregon State Extension, including research, including podcasts, all kinds of resources for you. So that's a great resource. Other resources that Lincoln County Master Gardeners provide for our community will be a roundtable series of classes that will be starting in early fall that all have a sustainable gardening focus in them. And you can find out information about those classes available on the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association website. Some people ask about sourcing native plants. We actually have a plant sale every year. It's always on the third Saturday of May, and we have quite a large selection of native plants, hundreds of native plants in that plant sale. Also, I would recommend any books by Douglas Ptolemy, and that's spelled T-A-L-L-A-M-Y. The most current book is called How Can I Help? Saving Nature with Your Yard.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us, Julie.
Thank you, Ross.
To wrap up the show, let's check in on some things that are happening seasonally. It's definitely getting hot, and warm season plants are well underway. Make sure tomatoes have adequate support through a trellis, cage, or other structure. And while different parts of the county are experiencing different temperatures, cold weather plants are going to start bolting if they haven't already, so it's a great time to harvest any radishes or other heat-intolerant vegetables and herbs. To replace what you harvest, make sure to plant heat-tolerant plants like kale, Swiss chard, collards, and squashes. Continuing the theme of sustainable gardening, here's a tip. If you water in the morning before it's gotten too hot yet, plants will have time to take up more water before it evaporates. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!